Well, we had a snow day last week, so we didn't have church, and as it is in public school, these things have to be made up. So today, we not only have one Bible text, we have three, and in effect, three sermons, so settle in. First of these from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Then the Pharisees went out and took counsel on how to entangle him in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully and care for no man, for you do not regard the position of men. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Show me the money for the tax." And they brought him a coin. And Jesus said to him, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Text number one. We'll get to the others in a minute. Over the last couple of years, we've come to appreciate what we call our new favorite Austin, Texas band. It's a little group called Sons of Fathers. There are two singers and some backup musicians. And among their many songs is one that's called simply, "To Whom?" And yet, as you listen to the lyrics, it answers the rhetorical question, "To whom do you belong? To whom do you belong?" It's the same sort of question Jesus asked the Pharisees. Whose image is on the coin? Well, they said Caesar's. Well, Caesar gets this part, but then the implied question is, whose image is on you? To whom do you belong? And render unto God the things that are God's. Well, we have an answer to that question. We have just experienced what we call the sacrament of belonging. And Bella over there belongs. Well, she belongs to a family. And by the way, we all do as well. We all have family ties. And if you will, the title of these thoughts is, "She Belongs and We Belong." She belongs and we belong to a family. Now, as it so happens, Bella belongs to a family that at least on one side is deeply rooted to this community. Bella's, and I had to write this down, Bella's great-great-great-grandfather, John Bruce Coleman, came to post in 1912 when the town was 5 years old. And 4 years after that, John Bruce Coleman's father and mother, Lewis and Jane Coleman, moved to post. And so that was Bella's great-great-great-great-grandparents. John Bruce Coleman's daughter, great-great-grandmother Johnny. Johnny's son, Neil, great-grandfather, and great-aunt Millie. Grandmother, Courtney, father, Ricky, and Bella, who is the seventh generation of people living in Post, Texas. She's, I guess we could say, at least in part, she's another one of the Coleman girls. For which we are very grateful. Now, all of us can trace a lineage in similar fashion, maybe not seven generations to the same place, but that's why Ancestry.com is making a lot of money. We want to know, to whom do we belong? Who are our people, the people in our family? We belong to a family. We want to know who they are. Now, I can't trace my lineage back seven generations to the same place, other than if you want to call Wisconsin the same place. I come from a long line of cheeseheads. And I will tell you that I have a vivid and clear memory of two people, two grandfathers, that were born in the 19th century. I mean, very late in the 19th century, thank you. But I have a memory of two people born in the 1800s who I got to know in the 20th century, the 1900s, and whose memory is very powerful for me now, and who are role models for who I am with the seven grandchildren I share. I belong, you belong, she belongs to a family. And insofar as we learn and grow from those connections, we become who we are. Being from Wisconsin, I was able to attend, as it turns out, I didn't know at the time, one of the finest public universities in the country that had, in my field of study, then and now, a top five caliber department. And 20 years or so after I graduated, I had a line on a resume that I submitted to Texas Tech University, to the department of my study, that said University of Wisconsin. And in addition to a lot of other things, a couple people said, "Oh yeah, from Wisconsin? We'll take you." "Oh yeah? Oh, one of the Coleman girls. We'll take you." Or something to that effect. Everyone belongs to a family. And as we belong to a family, we also belong to a community. And just as out of our family we receive an identity, out of community we receive a vocation, a calling. The community in which we grow, we experience contact with parents and teachers who figure out what we're good at, figure out our attributes, figure out our skills, and help us match what we do with what needs getting done. And there really are no hierarchies for this. Let me call your attention to St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12. "For as in one body we have many members, and all members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Prophecy, faith, service, teaching, exhortation, giving of aid, acting with mercy." One body, many members, many skills. Vocation originates in baptism, because in baptism, she belongs and we belong to a community that nurtures us and teaches us. One of the great insights of the Protestant Reformation is what Martin Luther and John Calvin called the priesthood of all believers, arguing in effect that we have a priesthood, in other words, the clergy, but their job is really no different than anybody else's job in terms of its relative importance. You know, in our day, who's more important in your life if you happen to have a leak in a faucet than the plumber? Well, we'll get to the preacher later, etc. One body, many members, all do not have the same function. Now, ironically, as it turns out, and I had to write this down too, Bella's great-great-great-granduncle, the Reverend James Coleman. Apparently, Jane, his mother, was absolutely certain that one of her sons needed to be a minister. So she sent him off to Princeton Seminary, and I would imagine he presided at the baptism of at least some of the people we've named in Bella's family at that point. But the larger point is this. We are all called through baptism. We are all educated and nurtured in a community to figure out what our deal is and where our deal meets what the world needs. There are varieties of gifts: farmers, ranchers, public servants, teachers, musicians. Everybody in this room has a deal, and they make their deal and express who they are in community. She belongs and we belong to a community. And finally, implied in all of this, of course, to whom do you belong? Well, you belong to God, for God has created the world in which you live and has put in motion a process that gave you life, which seems like an awesome responsibility, until you also read Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. And most important of all, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." The treasure is expressed in earthen vessels, cracked pots like us, with feet of clay, who often as not, and maybe more often than not, depending on the week, the year, or the decade, get it more wrong than not. And for reasons that escape me sometimes, God decides that we belong to him anyway. That God's love for us is not conditional on whether or not we get it right today or get it right tomorrow. He keeps giving us the treasure and allows us to carry it in earthen vessels. Now, what's the treasure? Well, interestingly enough, and I don't think this has ever happened in 20 years of ministry here, we celebrate the two sacraments of our tradition on the same day, the sacrament of belonging, the sacrament of reconciliation, in which we share, literally and metaphorically, the body of Christ. Now, when Paul talks about the body of Christ in the New Testament, he means it very literally. The community that is the hands and feet of Christ. So, and bear with me on the science on this. We have a couple of medical professionals that can verify. We are going to ingest in a minute a little sip of, of grape juice and a bit of starch, unleavened bread, that when it metabolizes becomes energy. We receive what we call the body and blood of Christ and literally, as well as metaphorically, receive the energy to carry this treasure forward, feet of clay notwithstanding. We and she belong to a family. That family grows and is nurtured in a community to whom she and we belong. And ultimately, she and we belong to the God who continues to reinvest in us the treasure that we call the body of Christ, so that we might literally become together the hands and feet and body of Christ in the world. We belong and she belongs together so that we not ever, not now, so that we not lose heart together. Amen.